As the legislative session gets underway, a tax swap plan will be closely watched. Governor Bobby Jindal is seeking to eliminate personal and corporate income tax, replacing the base with a higher state sales tax and placing a tax on some services not currently subject to those fees. For a discussion of some aspects of the reform and a look at some of the numbers is ULM economic professor Dr. Bob Eisenstadt. Bob, glad you could join us.
Thank you.
The governor looking to cover a nearly $3 billion base of personal and corporate income tax with raising the state sales tax. Some, including the Public Affairs Research Council, Bob, say the numbers don't add up to be revenue neutral, as the governor has claimed. What do you see in looking at the projections of what the tax swap would do?
Yeah, well, you know, the revenue neutrality of it depends on how you're looking at it, depends on what data you're looking at. As I understand, Public Affairs Research Council recognized that when the original plan was out, if you recall, they started out with a three-point increase from 4% to 7%, and then they backed off and they said, 1.88% is going to get us to revenue neutrality. That's, you know, getting rid of corporate income tax, getting rid of personal income tax, putting that onto sales tax, and of course expanding the base. And the base expansion is kind of key to this whole thing. Then Public Affairs Research Council said, are you sure you're looking at the right data? And it turns out perhaps they were looking at some earlier data when, you know, kind of some recession era data when the revenues were relatively low. And so the amount that was needed to recover for revenue neutrality was not quite what it would be after the economy has recovered and after, of course, the state has experienced some growth. So they adjusted. Now they're back to 6. Now they're up to 6.25%, or a 2.25-point increase over our 4% state sales tax. What that does is presumably gets us to something called neutrality. But when you're dealing in $2.8 to $3 to $3.2 billion, $100 million, $200 million, $300 million error, or it amounts to almost like a rounding error at this point. So it's kind of hard to say what defines or what determines absolute neutrality.
The administration is emphasizing the point of savings from nixing personal income, charting, you know, net benefits, giving an individual's income range. For example, someone making between $30,000 and $40,000 would see a net benefit of about $565. 40 to 50 would see a net benefit of about $817. If we look at the other side of that, though, if we look at the spending averages of an individual within a given range, what do we see as far as that benefit of what they'd be paying in sales tax?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, obviously, as you're getting up into upper income ranges, you know, where there's a lot more income that is not spent, or it's perhaps spent on non-taxable goods and services and so forth, you know, the benefits of the tax swap are going to be more appreciated. When you get into lower income ranges, now you're dealing with issues of kind of regressivity. Clearly, a 2-point increase in sales tax for somebody who is at poverty or below is going to be a considerably greater hit than for somebody who's, you know, 3 and 4 times poverty in their income. Also, you have to remember, typically we spend about 50% of our income on taxable goods and services. You have to remember about 30% of income goes to housing, and probably 25% goes to food, which is not taxed. That's food in the home, or grocery store food, if you will. That is typically not taxed at the state level, although it is taxed at the local level to some extent. People who spend a disproportionate amount on other items and so forth, of course, will experience a greater hit. The relative benefits, obviously, I mean, again, they're going to accrue mostly to people in higher income, people who would normally pay a higher income tax. In order to mitigate the regressivity, of course, there is the proposal to rebate the sales tax increase to people on fixed incomes, perhaps retirees, and also people who are at poverty or below. I haven't seen the details of how that's going to be put into place. The way these things typically work is you get a rebate at the end of the year. So you're initially hit with the higher price, which of course affects your current consumption behavior. And then at the end of the year, you'll get some kind of rebate check when you file taxes, perhaps. And that compensates you for the added expense. But of course, the compensation comes after you've already reacted to the higher sales tax and the higher price that's a consequence of that sales tax.
As we see a lot of considerations with this tax swap plan, but of course, one of the considerations is the argument that's going on, Bob, I guess, talking about corporations bringing businesses and jobs to the area. How effective is that point of the discussion?
You know, that's one of those sort of everything else equal arguments, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, let me put that in perspective. If all states were exactly the same, if they all had exactly the same quality labor force, exactly the same quality educational opportunities, exactly the same quality of amenities, exactly the same climate conditions, if there was no variation in any other aspect except tax, the tax burden that's placed on individuals, corporations or families or individuals, then clearly people would, of course, you know, migrate towards a greater or a lower tax environment. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to get the same level of services for a lower price? So again, everything else equal, sure. I certainly would expect a lower tax environment to be to promote growth. But it's not an everything else equal argument. You can't, I don't believe that you could just sit there and make a comparison and say, okay, there's 9 states without income tax in the United States. Perhaps there will be 10 if Louisiana passes this legislation or passes this swap. But right now there's 9 states in the country that have no income tax. To sit there and compare those two states with income tax and say, oh, look at their relative growth rates, I think that's a bit disingenuous, really, because, again, there is so much variation out there, and there are so many other things that attract people and corporations to a place.
The administration wants to have a tax base expansion. What has caught your attention about this part of the proposal?
The idea is to tax services that we currently don't. Right. They're going to tax haircuts, perhaps. They're going to tax lawn care services. They're going to tax housekeeping services, transportation services, accounting. Lots of business services are suddenly become subject to taxation. Things that won't be taxed are probably easier to count, and that's medical care and lawyer services. Okay, I think they've been exempted from the mix. And when you look at that base, the expansion of that base, and then put a 6% sales tax on all that spending, I believe it comes to over $1 billion worth of additional revenue recovered. That's if you don't get that base, that expanded base, you have nothing that even remotely resembling neutrality out there. Now, the downside of that is if you look at the number of business services that are out there. When you look at it, it is entirely likely that a whole lot of businesses, and these will be sort of smaller businesses perhaps, you know, the proprietorships, the LLCs, that kind of thing.
Right.
A lot of small businesses that use a lot of these business services may actually see an increase in their tax liability.
Dr. Bob Eisenstadt with the University of Louisiana at Monroe. Bob, thanks.
Thanks for having me.